Hello, are you there, caller?
Oh, I'm so here, Mr. the Human Serviette.
Who are you? Please, identify yourself.
My name is George Mark Paul Strombolopoulos from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
How the hell are you, George?
I'm good, Nardwar. How are you, man?
Good. What the hell are you doing in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? I think I kind of know, because next week there's going to be some exciting things happening. But who are you again? A bit of background on yourself, and what are you doing here, and what's going to be happening next week?
Oh, I host a television program called CBC News The Hour on CBC News World, which I believe in the 604 is number 26 on your television dial, and we are broadcasting our show, The Hour, live from Vancouver from Monday to Thursday this coming week. So I decided to come in a bit early, come hook up with some old friends, come talk to you, maybe do a little bit of eating at Tojo's, perhaps even do some pre-tapes.
And you were George Strombolopoulos, and you're no stranger to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, are you, George? You were here last summer shooting the amazing movie Going the Distance.
Is it amazing? Is that the word that you would use to describe that film, Nardwar?
Yeah, could you explain your experience, George Strombolopoulos, about shooting the movie Going the Distance? And that's my first question to you, George Strombolopoulos. And if anybody has any questions for George, it's 604-822-2487. It's 604-UBC-CITR if you want to speak to George from CBC's TheHour.ca. What was Going the Distance?
Well, it was a lot of fun for me. This movie, essentially, imagine like those, you know, American movies, American Pie meets Road Trip and all that, but you do it in Canada. That was the idea. So these kids, they leave from Tofino and they head all the way out to the East Coast. But the role that I played was a particularly difficult, Nardwar, because I played myself. So all I had to do was come out here and reenact a couple of scenes that may or may not have happened at the Much Music Video Awards, a couple onstage moments and a couple of backstage moments, and that was it. I just came out, and I think I had 1.5 lines.
That may or may not have happened at the Much Music Video Awards. Now, wasn't that the penultimate scene? Were you not part of that in the movie where there's some sort of guy swinging on like a flying fox and like a condom lands into somebody's mouth? Could you just give it a background? I don't want you to give away the plot, but that is an amazing moment
of cinema. If you haven't seen the film by now, you're probably not going to see it, so I'm not going to be giving away too much by telling you this, but I'll tell you anyway. Basically, I'm on stage
with Jason Priestley. Let's back up a second here.
Right.
Actually, you didn't even say his name, but you and Jason Priestley together.
That's right. We were on stage, and we had thanked the Swollen members for their performance. Gob were on stage with us as well, and basically, Jason Priestley's character was going, Lenny Swackhammer was his name, was going to be presenting the guys in Gob with this achievement award, which is kind of funny because if you, and because of your experience with Much Music, Nardwar, you know that over the years, one of the running bits at the MMVAs was Gob not being able to get in. So this was kind of neat that they were being presented with the award. Like, we were presenting the award to Lenny Swackhammer, but then while that was going on, up on top of the sound and lighting rig, two of the stars of the film, the very attractive Mako and the very lovely and funny Ryan Belleville, were engaging in some form of copulation when the bar gave way and the guy grabbed onto a cable and swang down and swang into Mr. Jason Priestley's face. And then Priestley, of course, with the big reveal, had a condom jammed right in his yapper.
How many takes did that take, and has stuff like that happened at the Much Music Video Awards, George, from CBC's The Hour?
Nothing like that has happened at the MMVAs that I know of, but that isn't to say that it doesn't happen. Although, I think last time at the awards, there was some weirdo thing with one of the guys in Good Charlotte was old buddy-buddy with Hilary Duff, which kind of creeped me out, but whatever.
Which later came true. I've seen it in tabloids.
That's right. Now, I don't...
And then Beastie Boys also shot their video at the Much Music Video Awards. So there have been some seminal events that have actually happened at the awards.
Certainly, the red carpet thing absolutely was part of their awards. I'll tell you, for this one, we took about 4 or 5 takes, if I can remember. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning when Jason took the last jab, if you will. What we did was, right in Victoria, we took out the street and we recreated the street to look like John Street, which is one of the corners that Much Music sits on. And so they rebuilt it to look like John Street. It was raining all night, so we tried to make it look like it wasn't. And we just watched Jason take it in the face all night. It was really quite funny.
Baboom, Jason, take it in the face like he did many times. And you're listening to CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The Nardwar Human Serviette Radio Show. We're speaking here to George Strombolopoulos, who's in town because next week his show, The Hour, on the CBC is filming in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada at the Fire Hall Art Center. And to some lucky listeners, at the end of the show, we have some tickets to give away. 280 East Cordova Street, Fire Hall Art Center, where Snoop Doggy Dogg shot the movie Bones. I'm I'm still going to talk about movies, because I also see, George, and this is very exciting, you were in a movie called The Life and Hard Times of Tarifico.
Of Guy Tarifico, that is correct.
And when you look closely, who's involved with this movie, this is really incredible. This is a foundation of Canadian rock. Not that Swollen Members and Jason Priestley and yourself and Gob aren't the foundation of Canadian rock, but going way back, in this movie, apparently, Ronnie the Hawk Hawkins, Kris Kristofferson, and Levon Helm?
I'll tell you what, the reason why I did this movie was they have this sort of outlaw country Canadian singer. Imagine all of the Spinal Tap series, but with this Guy Tarifico character who died, or did he? Like, mix a little Eddie and the Cruisers in there for you with this comeback record. When I initially was contacted by it, I thought, oh, that seems kind of neat, but I didn't think I would have the time. And then all of a sudden I realized that not only was Kris Kristofferson in the film and Ronnie the Hawk Hawkins, but perhaps even the great Merle Haggard would be in it. And if the Hag was in the film and Levon Helm from the band were going to be in this film, then what the hell, I'd have to do it. Even though Levon wasn't the Canadian one, didn't matter.
Have you met any of those guys before? Like, have you ever met the Ronnie the Hawk Hawkins or any of the bands?
I'll tell you what, the time that I met Ronnie the Hawk Hawkins was in Hamilton at Cops Coliseum on the Elevation Tour, going to watch U2 perform. As I walked down there, Ronnie Hawkins said, "Hey, how you doing, son?" And I said, "Good." And he says, "Hey, are you practicing safe sex?" And that was my word of advice from the great Hawk.
What's the U2 Ronnie the Hawk Hawkins connection? Because I know Ronnie the Hawk is connected, you know, to the Lennons. How is he connected to U2? Or is he just at all the events when you're in Toronto?
You know, I don't know. I suspect he just was at that event. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but maybe you can do the math and do the whole Hamilton Cops Coliseum, Hamilton Daniel Lanois, longtime Canadian musicians. Perhaps the Hawk knows, you know, the Hawk through Robbie Robertson, who played with the band when he was in the Sparrows, the backing band previous, and then, of course, played with Bob Dylan, and you know that Daniel Lanois's got the Bob Dylan connection from New Orleans. Perhaps you can wing that whole little Halifax thing into a little mix and find yourself with U2.
George Stromalopoulos, what's your favorite Daniel Lanois moment? Mine was told to me by Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Sloan, where he said after one Junos, he was jamming. It was Chris Murphy, Daniel Lanois, and Snow all jamming together. Is that not incredible?
That's pretty fantastic. I think I saw Daniel Lanois play with the Tea Party during a film festival one year.
Did you ever have any interaction with him at all?
I did, actually. I interviewed Daniel Lanois once, and what was really nice about that interview was in the middle of it, we were sitting in front of a pedal steel guitar, and he is one of the finer pedal steel guitar players around, and he just says, "Do you mind if I play?" And I thought, "No, I think that's fine. Go ahead, sir." And he just sat, and during the interview, spent 5 minutes playing this beautiful song that was rather hymn-like, hymn as in H-Y-M-N rather than H-I-M, and it was great.
And you were George Stromalopoulos from Toronto. Where exactly are you from? What suburb of Toronto are you from? Or where are you from?
I was born in Toronto, and then I've lived in a whole bunch of different suburbs in Toronto, and I live currently right downtown now, although I did live very briefly in Kelowna, British Columbia.
George, when people watch you on TV, you're always wearing cool T-shirts. What T-shirt have you worn the most? Is it the Riptides? Is it the Riptides T-shirt?
No, it's the Jersey T-shirt. There's a rock and roll band from Burlington called Jersey.
Did they just break up?
I knew there was something building, and I don't know if it happened, but maybe they did.
But Jersey was the T-shirt that you wore the most. Did anybody bribe you with T-shirts? Like, here, George, wear our shirt. Or were you offered any money to wear shirts? Or were you not allowed to wear any shirts on TV? And have you worn any T-shirts yet on The Hour, your brand new show on the CBC.ca?
Okay, so let's break that down. Lots of people send me free T-shirts. Some people have offered money for me to wear them. I only wear shirts of bands that I like, so when people send me T-shirts, I say, send me the CD first. If I like the CD enough to feel like I want to wear that band on my chest, then I'll wear it. In terms of wearing those tees on the air, I've generally been rocking the Playdead stuff, and if you take a look at some of the stuff I wear on The Hour, when it's not just a good old-fashioned straight black, you'll see something, and there'll be a little hidden skull somewhere hanging around.
And on your show, the CBC.ca, The Hour, George Stromalopoulos, shooting in Vancouver next week, you're not trying to fool people, are you? Now, what I mean by that is, I remember when I first heard As It Happens, I couldn't believe on the CBC that all the interviews were lined up in a row. Like, they went from one interview to the other. Like, how did they get the people on the phone all at the same time? You know,
oh,
it was amazing. Now, I noticed yesterday on your show, you had kind of like a pre-taped segment, which you acknowledged, but when you cut back from the pre-taped segment, you were wearing long sleeve, but in the pre-taped segment, you were wearing short sleeve. Like, you kind of acknowledged it. You, like, got rid of, you destroyed it. The myth was broken right then and there.
Well, I mean, because, you know, the real myth isn't about the way you line up a show, which is the way it's sort of been presented over the years. The real myth is the ability to get everybody together in one room. It doesn't have to be in one day or in one particular hour. That's the real myth. And the fact that we let you know It's just a little thing.
Was that the first time you did that? Because I saw that, because you were basically introducing a pre-taped segment, and you were, yeah, I think, wearing a long-sleeve shirt, and it went to the pre-tape, and you were wearing short sleeve.
Oh, no, I've done it lots of times.
But I thought if you just kept the long-sleeve on in the pre-tape, it would just be... I just wanted that. You kind of broke it down, and I was like, oh, my God, the myth is over.
Yeah, we got to remember that interview that you saw last night that we did that, too. I had shot a week before. I suppose, and because every show does this, right? Letterman does this, and The Daily Show does it, but the thing is they have somebody there telling them what suit he wore on a given day. So they can remember that. They do that all the time. Larry King, same thing. Larry King Live isn't always live. They pre-tape that stuff, and the phone calls aren't live. So I suppose if I had enough, due diligence set aside where I would actually know what I wore on one given day, then perhaps it would be. But it's just not the kind of thing I think about too often. I don't really worry about it.
George, when people go down to see you tape your show next week at the Fire Hall Art Center, again, we're speaking here to George Stromboulopoulos from CBC's The Hour, 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR, if anybody has any questions for George Stromboulopoulos.
And it'll be live, by the way, too.
But yeah, that's what I was wondering. When they see you taping your show, will there be any like pre-tape segments? Like, will they see you introducing something, and then there'll be like a little break for 5 minutes?
There might be. I know that we have the Trailer Park Boys will be on the show this week, and it was a pre-tape. I know that there's some stuff that we're going to shoot tomorrow in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. There are other things that we'll be doing. I want to go to, and this is where I was going to actually call on you, Mr. Serviette, because I want to go to Zulu's, the record store, and just talk about music there. I want to go to different places, and if there's a place in Vancouver that you think people, you know, should know about it, that could be interesting, then let me know and we'll go and film out front of it and kind of let people know that it's there.
Yeah, phone us up right now, 604-822-2487, UBC-CITR. If you have any suggestions, any places at CBC The Hour should check out in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada next week or even tomorrow for their CBC taping of The Hour, CBC News. I didn't realize it was CBC News : The Hour.
Well, I think almost everything on News World is called CBC News. I don't really get it, but that's just the way it is. So I know that there's CBC News Sunday, then there's CBC News Correspondent, though there's blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It's this whole weirdo branding thing. I mean, you know what it was like at Much Music, right? Everything was much this, much that. Same idea.
George Stromboulopoulos, wearing the Riptides t-shirt, did it help with LP or CD sales? A lot of bands get a lot of press, but it doesn't necessarily translate to sales. Did you wearing the t-shirt actually help with sales? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, I don't know. You'll have to ask them.
I mean, it must have helped the Riptides, because, I mean, I'd heard of them before, but I heard about them more because I was reminded because you kept on wearing the shirt over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think what you do is you put on a shirt, and then you're not going for the mass audience with that deal. What you're doing is there are people who knew me as a fan of a lot of different kinds of music, and specifically they knew me as a fan of a lot of punk rock, and I hosted a lot of punk rock shows over the years. So if they know what I generally like, because I say what I like on the air, and then all of a sudden I wear a shirt, they will look at that shirt and say, okay, well, if they have similar musical tastes to me, then maybe I'm introducing them to a new band. Because they know that they're not going to see me on the air rocking a Creed t-shirt. I would choose death over that.
George Stromboulopoulos from CBC's The Hour. Don't be modest here. Don't be modest here. You mentioned wearing the band Jersey and their shirt lots and lots and lots. What bands did you get record deals for? Didn't you help Jersey get a record deal? Like, did anybody approach the bands because they saw you wearing the shirt?
I don't know. I know that I've been approached by record companies to ask me questions about bands that I was wearing, for sure. But I remember, and you know this as well as I do, Nardwa, it's the music that gets a band signed, not me.
But still, did you help get conversation going between Jersey and the major labels? Like, which bands did you kind of help along? Don't be modest. I'm just out of curiosity. Maybe you helped.
No, I've talked about a lot of bands. I mean, I've been a very big fan of Jersey, and I've been a very big supporter of Jersey. And it truthfully, the first person that I talked to about Jersey wasn't in Canada. I went down to the States and pitched them to a friend of mine in New York. Because I know that if you're in a Canadian band, you know, you either sign to a really good indie or just sign in America.
Were there any other bands you helped out at all or put the word in for major labels or even bigger independents?
No, you know, I'll tell you what. All I did was I supported them on the air by playing them. I didn't really get involved in that process. Every now and then you make a phone call, but not too often.
Okay, what bands did you play on air that nobody else played?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, eventually, I remember playing a lot of the punk rock bands in this country, sir.
Like,
but I couldn't even remember who they all were. I mean, like I said, I just played bands that I thought were good, and if it wasn't me playing them, somebody else would have played them, and they ended up getting picked up, which was nice.
George Stromboulopoulos of CBC's The Hour. Long ago, as you mentioned, right off the top there in an Art Water Human Serviette Radio Show. Actually, we began an Art Water Human Serviette Radio Show with
Johnny Thunders.
Johnny Thunders, what can you say about that song? What made you pick that song? You've been listening to that lots, right?
Yeah, I listened to
Johnny. We didn't find the exact song you wanted. What was the exact song you wanted us to play, but we didn't actually have?
One Track Mind. That was the song. But you know what? One Track Mind, Born to Lose, Chinese Rocks. You can't put your arm around a memory. I just love Johnny Thunders. I mean, I understand and appreciate what the New York Dolls contributed. Johnny Thunders was the guitarist in that band. But, whatever. The New York Dolls were a little bit too much of a...
They only got back together.
Yeah. No, they did.
They did. The New York Dolls got back together. And believe it or not, coming up later in the Art of Human Survey...
With Buster Poindexter?
Yes.
Wow.
They played two gigs, I think, or three gigs in one day. And what's really interesting, a little tie in here, a little later on the Art of Human Survey radio show, we're speaking here live right now to George Strombolopoulos. I'm going to do an interview with British rockers Bloc Party, who, believe it or not, played with the New York Dolls twice in one day at South by Southwest. Twice in one day, and they didn't even really know who the New York Dolls were. The lead singer didn't really know. Well, maybe he was just playing that he didn't know. But isn't that wild? He played with New York Dolls twice in one day.
Is he going by Buster or is he going by David now? Do we know?
I think it might have been David.
David Johansen.
It might have been David Johansen, but they played at South by Southwest. They were also playing in England. They played Morrissey, invited them to reform or whatever at one of his music festivals that they do every year. Not one of his, but this music festival they have in England every year. So they're totally back up and rocking. But did you have any contact at all, George Strombolopoulos of CBC The Hour, with any of the New York Dolls gang? Did you interview anybody remotely associated with it? I know you talked to some of the Ramones, but
what
was the closest you got to the Dolls or Johnny Thunders?
I mean, Sylvain was on our television show once on the New Music, but I didn't do the interview at the time. I've never met any member of the Dolls, never have. And like I said, I like the New York Dolls and all, but they didn't really do it for me the same way that, at that point, more of a Stiv Bader's kind of guy and Dead Boys, that kind of stuff. But Johnny Thunders is a solo artist I appreciated much more than I appreciated the New York Dolls as a band. I like the New York Dolls, but Thunders was the one that I really liked.
George Strombolopoulos, The Lizard. You mentioned Kelowna. The Lizard! You worked at The Lizard.
I did, yeah.
In British Columbia. What was it like working at The Lizard? Did you make it to any gigs in Vancouver? Did you see any local bands out of Kelowna? The Lizard, did you get involved in any of the punk scene happening out there? Were you allowed to do any punking stuff there, George Strombolopoulos?
Well, back then what I did was I had three jobs, essentially. I assisted in the music department. I hosted a hard rock heavy metal show called High Voltage, which was all about basically Pantera and Slayer and Venom and White Zombie.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, right?
I loved it. And then also I was the Lizard mascot. So basically I would dress up in a 7-foot green lizard costume and go to events and throw at first pitches and try not to get punched out by drunk guys in the Okanagan Valley.
Did you check out any local gigs or did you go to Vancouver for any gigs that time?
No, I didn't go to any gigs in Vancouver because in Kelowna at the time I just basically worked all the time. Saw a lot of bars and a lot of bands. I've been thrown out of most of them and I certainly can't remember them back
then. Is that when you took a Harley trip to Whistler?
No, that I did a couple of years ago actually out here.
What was your first punk gig that you went to, George Strombolopoulos, just out of curiosity?
The first
punk gig that you went to, like DIY punk gig, at a hall, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember now. I mean, there was a lot of them in my neighborhood. They would play in the basement of the church, Our Lady of the Airways Church, which is when one that I would go see. I remember seeing Bad Religion a long time ago, which was great.
How about a local band that you saw from your area?
In Toronto?
Yeah.
I remember not getting into a Teenage Head concert. Trying really hard to get into that.
How about Flag Camp and all those bands? Were you around at that time?
No, it wasn't. That wasn't. I mean, when I was a kid, I liked the BFG a lot. I got into, a bunch of effing goofs.
Yes.
They were a band that I liked a lot in the Toronto area. And over the last 5-6 years or so, there's been a couple of really good ones. A band called Riot 99 out of Toronto that I like a lot. And they keep that kind of street core punk down.
And the Wednesday Night Heroes, you love the street core, right?
Yeah, Wednesday Night Heroes a lot as well.
You wore their shirt quite a bit,
yeah,
didn't you?
You know what, that guy, man, not only did he take the shirt, but his shirt was too big for me. And one of the guys in the band actually cut it down and hand-sewed it to fit me.
Really? Right in front of you?
Well, no, he brought it into the radio show. I had a punk show on a radio station.
But as the radio show was on, he sewed it.
Well, I don't know if he did. He handed it to me during the radio show. I suspect he sewed it the night before. But I didn't ask. He handed it to me. But they're a band from Edmonton. I like them. There's another band from Alberta called Mad Bomber Society.
Yeah, ska band.
Yeah, we're pretty good. I mean, I'm not, to me, ska is, you have to be really good. If you miss the mark just a little bit, I mean, I think ska can sound horrible. But I think that they're pretty good. But I like street punk, a lot of the oi punk and that's where a band like Riot 99 fits in.
George Strombolopoulos of CBC's The Hour. If anybody has any questions for George, it's 604-822-2487, UBC-CITR. The Hour are coming to Vancouver, or actually are here already, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, broadcasting live next week, right, George?
That is correct.
From the Fire Hall Art Center, 280 East Cordova Street here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So this is your new show, The Hour. You got your new show happening with The Hour. P. Diddy. You had P. Diddy on your show.
That's
How
right.
hard is it to get guests for your show, The Hour? Because I noticed P. Diddy was on some other Toronto shows. How competitive is it to do a show out of Toronto? Are people fighting with the guests? Is it, are publicists saying, oh, CBC is important, but not as important, say, as eTalk Daily or something? How hard is it to get guests?
You know, I wonder if they say that. Maybe they do say stuff like that. It's not that hard, to be honest with you, because we just sit back and say, here's who we want, and sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no, so we can have P. Diddy and Jesse Jackson and Pauly Shore and General Romeo Dallaire all on one program. See, our show is pretty diverse in that we'll cover a lot of subject areas, so there's always somebody that you can find and put on. Yeah, P. Diddy was on every show, man. That guy was on like 7,000 channels that day.
Yeah, what point do you decide not to have a guest on that particular day? Because if he's on every channel, maybe somebody's already seen it, so they're going to flip. Like, why do you put it on that same day? I'm just wondering about the competitiveness of getting that all together.
Well, the reason why we did P. Diddy is the question that we asked him about the
record. I don't mean why you did it, that day?
But I'll tell you why, though, because there was a news stories were brewing that the Reverend Al Sharpton was getting heavily involved in trying to clean up hip-hop, right? So when we knew that was we didn't even have P. Diddy booked on the show. This was the night before, and Al Sharpton was constantly in the news talking about wanting to clean up hip-hop and buy record companies' shares, become a shareholder, and force the record companies into making hip-hop more responsible for kids. So that's why we did P. Diddy. It didn't matter that he was on a bunch of channels, because we could talk to him about that, and no other channel talked to him about that and the Reverend Al Sharpton. That was our reason for having him on. But there are plenty of these big stars who come through town who there's just no point in having them on our show, because there's really nothing to talk to them
about.
Have
you talked to P. Diddy before? Did he remember you?
I don't know if you remember me. I have talked to him before.
And how big was his posse? How many people were traveling with them?
Well, there was a lot of people there, but I don't officially know who was with him and who was with the media, but I saw at least four or five people with him.
Had you done anything before with Al Sharpton or Russell Simmons?
No, I've never interviewed Reverend Al Sharpton. We're trying to get him on.
How about Jesse Jackson?
Interviewed Jesse Jackson about a week and a half ago.
Oh, really? What was that like?
Well, it was interesting. We talked to him during the death of Terry Schiavo and that whole media circus that was going on. So Jesse Jackson was waiting to go on the air on Larry King Live, and he was in the Larry King studio. So we got him on the cell phone, and he came on and did it for us. It was interesting to talk to Jesse, because Jesse, you know, walks a very fine line. You know, he's a Democrat. He's obviously a strong civil libertarian, but he's also a man of the cloth. This is a man of God, quote unquote, man of God, right? So when you have that kind of that very interesting split in your politics, he makes for a great guest.
George Shomalopoulos of CBC's The Hour. What's going to be on the show next week? Can we reveal a bit about what's going to be? You mentioned Trailer Park Boys. Are you allowed to give away? Is Jesse Jackson on next week?
Well, he's not on next week. No, we've already had him on. You know what? Honestly, because we were on News World and because we're based around current events, we don't know. It really depends on what's happening in the world. So we are, you know, obviously we watch the papers and we do our own research and our own journalism over the weekends, and we see what happens on Monday when we have a story meeting and we get in there and we start pitching shows. Is it basically depends on what's happening in the world.
So have you got preempted yet, or would you get preempted at all if there was a big enough story?
Oh, yeah, of course. Are you kidding me? If the Pope were to die, let's say, had he died on a Wednesday at 5:30, and my show was to go on the air at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, I would have gone on the air and I would have said, hi, everybody, welcome to The Hour. My name is George Strombolopoulos, and now over to Peter Mansbridge. Absolutely, that would have happened.
George Strombolopoulos, does being on the CBC give you more juice than being on Much Music? What's it like phoning, saying I'm from the CBC? Again, this is kind of a reference to that P. Diddy question. Do people view you with more, say, seriousness because you're on the CBC?
No,
or
absolutely.
do you get less interviews? Or have people's perception of the CBC changed? Because it seems like when you're answering a lot of emails, people like email into you all the time saying something like, oh, George, you're a lefty. Get you off the CBC. You know, like, there's a lot of people unhappy with the CBC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but who cares, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, the whole point is this, and I've said this on the air as well, and I expected my boss to get, you know, a little bit worried about it, but he hasn't in one bit, where I always say this on the air. Look, I don't care. And there are a million news channels and a million news hosts, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. And if you don't like the way we do it, you don't have to. Anybody who says that our show is a show of lefties doesn't watch our show. They just, you know, read a newspaper and say the same stuff. But I do think that in certain areas, our show has, CBC has provided way more juice for it. And then there are some fields where it's just not the same thing. Like, I'm not going for Britney Spears, right?
So what about that John Doyle review where he talked about you guys using the wrong footage?
Yeah, he was wrong.
What exactly was he talking about? He said he used the wrong footage,
he talked
right?
about the IRA, and he said that we had said, what basically John Doyle said we said a particular phrase, which we didn't. He said we should have said this, which is actually what we did say. So he was absolutely 100% incorrect. And then he said we used this footage to, and called it an IRA bombing, which we didn't. I actually, all the things that he said we should have done, we actually did. But yes, and this is the one thing that, you realize, Nardwar, is that when you're on the CBC, there are people who don't like it regardless of what you do.
Did anybody take him on that or follow up on that?
Somebody did at CBC, but then he realized that, you know, the only people who read media columnists are people in the media. Nobody actually really cares. You know, I mean, how many times do people complain about American Idol and look at the ratings it gets, right? It doesn't matter. No, you know, crusty old writers are right what they want, and that's cool. Some of them like us, some of them don't, and they don't have to like us. That's the thing. That's the other thing. I don't really worry too much, Nardwar, if they don't like what we do, that's totally fine. We're not for everybody. We're for whoever wants it.
George Stromoulopoulos of CBC's The Hour. Winding up here, you're next week at the Fire Hall Art Center, 280 East Cordova, taping all week. What is the history of you? Youth shows like The Hour and the CBC. I don't know if I should say the word youth. Well, what is the history? I mean, because, you know, like, there was Play, there was Counterspin, there was Big Life, there was Zed is still going, there was Switchback. Yeah. What is the history?
Yeah, but there's no way you can compare, you can't call Counterspin a youth show, because it wasn't, right? And in the same way that our show, people think it's a youth show because I speak a particular vernacular, which is not. And all we do is, I'm a 32-year-old man, I'm not a youth, right? And we put people on the air who are 80, and we put people on the air who are 20. And I think people just have this kind of built-in cynicism, and they always try to nail it for what it is. I think every channel tries to bring in an audience, a vibrant audience, for sure. I think what we do, though, is it's not about getting 18-year-olds watching. It's about getting people who are active to watch. And we're finding that our audience is split. We have, you know, grandmothers watching the show with their grandkids, and sometimes during the show, the grandmother has to explain to the kid what World War II reference I made, and then the grandkid has to explain to the grandmother what the Simpsons joke was I just made. And I think that that's where we go. People are still kind of hung up on the whole youth thing, and that's just the way they are. But you know what? Okay. There's nothing I can say that's going to change their mind, so I'm not that worried about it.
Okay, well, what shows were similar to yours that have been out there on the CBC in past? I'm just curious. You know what I mean? You know, Play, Counterspin, Big Life, well, Switchback. You know, like, what are ones that were similar? I'm just wondering if you can compare to, like, what sort of run would you like to have? Obviously, you'd like to be like Front Page Challenge and go on forever.
No.
But what sort of...
No, God,
do you have a
no.
show you use as a model? There was that Laurier LaPierre show.
That's
that was
the show. This Hour Has 7 Days.
Is that the one that's the model?
That's the one for me. I mean, him and Patrick Watson, their show was one that I really, really liked.
And wasn't it weird how it was canceled? Wasn't there some weird reason why it was canceled?
I think there was. I think there was some drama going on back there.
There was something weird going on. George Stromoulopoulos of CBC The Hour, what CBC shows did they cancel to make room for The Hour?
They didn't. Well, Counterspin was over, right? And so they actually did. They didn't have a show running in that time slot. They were just running documentaries and other stuff. They were just filling their time with other stuff, and then...
But, I mean, do you feel any pressure? Because, like, Jean Gomeshi is on your show, and he was on the CBC show Play, and some of the other people on there, like, I think one of your correspondents was on Street Sense. I think your producer was involved with This Hour is 22 Minutes, Mr. McBain there. So you have, like, all these people involved in other CBC shows going to your show. Is there a lot of pressure now because all these other shows are kind of no longer on the air and are now on your show, and if your show does it, like, you know what I mean? Like, is there a lot of pressure on there?
Not at all.
No, not at all?
Not at all, man. And because, and this is the thing, and you know this by doing what you do, right, for a living. You just take what you believe and you take your style and you just do it. You just don't worry about it. The thing about a show like Play was on the air for how many years, right? For many years. So it had its good run, and then it was over. Shows naturally come to an end. And Kim Dion, our host, when our VJ was the host of Street Sense, he was also in Marketplace. But just like I used to be on Much Music, and you were in Chart Magazine, nobody in this business has had one job. So there is no, you know, we all come from different places, and we all do different things. But in terms of pressure, I mean, you put the pressure on yourself to succeed, I would hope. But truthfully, dude, I just don't worry about it that much.
Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead to George Stromoulopoulos, host of CBC's The Hour.
Nardwar.
Caller, are you there?
Nardwar.
Go ahead.
Listen, George, you're the best thing on TV, you know that. Nardwar is the best thing on the radio. You are the best thing on TV.
You're very sweet, sir.
And I really hope, well, you're going to succeed. And I don't know how long this thing will last, maybe two, maybe 1 year, who knows, doesn't matter. But you've done a great thing on TV, and congratulations on this Tommy Douglas piece.
I appreciate that, the greatest Canadian. Thank you very much, man.
Have you seen the show at all, Hans?
Well, listen, I watch this religiously, you know, every bloody day. It is great stuff, you know. And I always like CBC, and, you know, I'm really happy he got into this gig, you know.
What time do you watch the show, just out of curiosity? Because it's on here quite a few times. What time do you usually watch the show, Hans?
Well, 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
So that would be the 8 o'clock is like the 11 p.m. repeat for you, George.
That's correct.
So a lot of West Coasters are catching us then.
That's the idea.
Well, Hans, next week you can actually go and check out. Did you want to win some free tickets to go see George next week in person at all, Hans?
I don't know if I'll have time for this, but, well, in case you have any, keep it for me, please.
It's 4 p.m. on Wednesday or Thursday. Are you available or are you working at that time?
Wednesday I'm off work and I'm going to do my show that night, you know.
So
I have to go home, get my stuff, and go back to UBC, right? So, well, thanks for the offer, though.
Okay. Thanks
very much,
Hans, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
To do.
And you're still listening to CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nerdwater Human Survey Radio Show. I'm winding up here with George Stromalopoulos from CBC's The Hour, and we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Go ahead to George Stromalopoulos, host of CBC's The Hour, in Vancouver, next week's shooting.
Well, I'm Katie, and I love your show, George.
You're very
sweet. It's a good alternative to the 6 o'clock news here. And I was just calling because I really wanted free tickets.
Well, Nardware, can you hook her up?
Yes, Katie, if you phone back at the end of the show and say your name is Katie.
Yes.
Just make sure you say your name is Katie and nobody else listening says their name is Katie. I will hook you up with some free tickets.
Okay.
But do you have any questions for George? Why would you like to see the show in person? And what time do you usually watch the show? You said an alternative to the 6 o'clock news. Does it mean you watch the 5 o'clock version of The Hour? When do you watch it? And what have you enjoyed about the show?
Well, it's on at 5, yeah. So I'll watch that and then slip in between, like, our local news. And then I'll just kind of skip the 6 o'clock news because he kind of goes over the big news issues that day.
What about your friends? Do they tune in? What have some of your favorite stories been?
No, my friends don't tune in.
Do you ever cringe when you see Jean Gomeshi appear on the show?
Sometimes because his sideburns get a little long and a little too curly.
Well, thanks very much. Phone back later, and we'll get your name again, Kate, and you'll win some free tickets.
Thank you very much, Kate. I hope to see you there.
And doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nerdwater Human Serviette Radio Show. Just out of curiosity, George Stromalopoulos, what other chumsters have come to the CBC? There's quite a bit of chumsters, that have, like some chum television, like Suk Yin, etc.
Yeah, it's funny. Suk Yin Lee is there doing Definitely Not the Opera. I think what you'll find in terms of on-air people, it's less about Much Music people and more about former hosts of the new music. Laurie Brown went to CBC. Daniel Richler went to CBC. Lewis.
Back up for a second there. Why the hell is Daniel Richler hosting Reach for the Top? What has happened?
I have no idea, man. Ask your boss. You work for Chum. I don't.
Well, he's hosting Reach for the Top.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a freelancer. I don't know who my boss is. But I'm curious, though. Because, like, he was host of Big Life. What do you guys think of Big Life? Is that a model at all for The Hour? Because that was a pretty amazing show.
Well, you know what? It's not a model in the sense that, of the format of the show, but they did a lot of things that were way ahead of their time. The idea of a video journalist, Big Life really helped bring that across in Canada for sure.
George was really awesome and knew his stuff. We were really impressed with him. He knew every Christian band and was quoting Bible verses.
Whoa, what is that?
Cheryl Stacey. Who is Cheryl Stacey? You did an interview with a Christian band, and they said George was really awesome and knew his stuff. We were really impressed with him. He knew every Christian band and was quoting Bible verses. Do you remember interviewing any Christian bands
at
all?
Yeah, I've interviewed lots of bands from lots of different faiths. But
was an artist called Cheryl Stacey.
Wow, maybe I interviewed her when we did a new music special on God Rock.
So you're a poster child for God Rock in
a
way.
Well, I don't think she said that. That's definitely not what she said.
Well, I think that's awesome. Have you been attributed to saying something that you didn't say before? Are you misquoted at all, Ben George?
Yeah, but you know what? It's less about being misquoted and more about they take out the first part of the sentence and the last part of the sentence and only put the middle part in. But no, it's not so bad.
George Stromalopoulos, lastly here, just winding up, Ozzy Osbourne, you really got to go on his private jet. I saw you on his private jet. What was that like? Is that one of the most surreal moments of your rock and roll interviewing?
I'll tell you what, man. I was sitting there. I met him in Philadelphia. This was in October, just after September. It was November, maybe, just after September the 11th. So I'm sitting there waiting in a hotel lobby, and this van pulls up, and I'm supposed to go in the van.
Where was this again?
In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I'm getting in there, and I'm supposed to interview Ozzy, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not supposed to interview Ozzy until either tomorrow or later on that night. So I'm just going there, and somebody says, here, go to the van and wait in that van for them to come down. So I open the door, and I'm bringing some of the gear in, and my head is down, and I don't see anybody. And I And I said, okay, where should I sit? And this guy just was, well, you should sit wherever you effing want to sit. And I looked at him, and it was Oz. So we sat down. We just kind of chilled out, whatever. We hadn't started our interview. We go to this signing, this in-store. It gets crazy. We then drive to his plane. So here's the thing. Here's where it gets weird, Nardbar. We get on the plane. I sit down. He sits down across the aisle beside me. And he eats, and he falls asleep. And that's it. He falls asleep. And then, out of nowhere, and I'm sort of dozing in my chair, and then sort of out of nowhere, about 20, 30 minutes after he falls asleep, he wakes up and he goes, George, if the effing terrorists want to get... And then we started to talk about 9/11, and it was a very surreal moment.
And was that the first time you had met him?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And how come they just let you into their environment? Like, how did they know you weren't a terrorist, you know?
Well, it's true. I think, well, I would suspect because I don't think I have the, I'm not resourceful enough. But also, no, they had seen the U2 interview we had done, the record company, and wanted to do something like that. This is when they were shooting the first season of The Osbournes, so The Osbournes hadn't become a hit yet. So they just wanted to do something a little bit more behind the scenes and a little bit more inclusive, or exhaustive, sorry, and that's the reason why we got that one.
For the U2 connection, I know you've talked about this before, but how did you initially make contact with Bono?
I met him on the air. I met him live on the air outside of their dressing room, walking him on stage. The first two times I talked to them were live.
At Much Music?
At Much Music, yeah.
And then afterwards he followed up with you, which is that common that people follow up with you?
Some people do. Some people do. I mean, it's not common, but it does happen every now and then.
Because, you know, like, Thurston Moore kind of picked out Nirvana, and Bono kind of picked out you, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if you know what it was. It was just, you know, we talked about things like rock and roll and politics and religion and things like that and family. It's just like anybody. And you know what? He's a very nice guy.
That's where your Christian quotes came in handy, right?
Well, you know what? Hey, you know, you want to talk about Christianity, you talk about Islam, you pick one, we talk about it. I've listened to enough Slayer and Venom. We could even talk Satanism if you want.
Bono knows a lot about Satanism?
I have no idea.
Have you interviewed any of the Rolling Stones at all, just out of curiosity?
No, none of the Rolling Stones.
Like, no connection to any, like, the Anton LaVey Church of Satan or anything like that?
Or Deicide? Alexander, no.
What about Deicide? Like, any of those bands, the death metal bands?
No, Glenn Deicide came by once. I interviewed Slayer once, but I wouldn't call them death metal by any stretch. No, you know, every now and then these bands come in. You meet the really good ones, you know, the bands like formerly known as Burn the Priest, now known as Lamb of God. They're more of a true revival kind of metal. But most of those really, really whole, you know, hardcore death, they don't have videos, right? So it's very difficult to play them when they don't make videos.
So, George, you began kind of doing rock and roll, then you kind of did some sports, too. You had a show called The Game, and then that rapper steals the name of your show.
Yeah, I know, what a punk, eh?
Was that the first time you had a show canceled? Is that the only time you've had a show canceled?
I don't know if it is. I'm sure it's happened before.
What was The Game like? Was that a pioneering show?
I think so. Yeah, no, I don't know. It was just a fun. It was a talk show. It was a talk show on a sports station. I mean, but we talked about, you know, music, movies, politics, sports, life. We talked about books. We talked about everything. What we did was, instead of being the sports guys doing a show, we were guys doing a show on a sports station.
Who do you think are the most knowledgeable sports people that you've talked to over the years? You mentioned Sergei Fedorov is into the Guns N' Roses.
Oh, he loves that stuff.
And Felix Pott fan, isn't he into
Felix Pott? Felix Pott is a gigantic Bad Religion fan, if I'm to be taken correct. I think he is.
Yeah, and like the Dayglo abortions, I think he's into, and UK subs. What sort of sports figures, this lastly, or George Strombolopoulos, have you encountered that really have a true passion for the music?
Boyd Devereaux from the Detroit, we're now Phoenix Coyotes, former Detroit Red Wing, is a big fan of guys like Sparta. I know Brian McCabe is a huge Metallica fan, Brian McCabe of the Maple Leafs, former Islander. He's a big fan of the, I think he even played in Vancouver, I don't know. Who else? A lot of these guys are big fans of music. Who was I just saw? Oh, Johnny Damon from the Boston Red Sox. We were just out with him, and he's a big, huge fan of AC/DC and Our Lady Peace and bands like that.
Where'd you meet him? In Boston?
No, in Toronto.
Oh, so you went out to a game and go did it. So you, what sort of stories are coming up on the hour side from next week, George Strombolopoulos?
Well, I mean,
like, do you have any? Are you doing more sports stuff?
We're doing
are you allowed to do sports?
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. Yeah, we got a story coming up about why it sucks to be a fan, but kind of an interesting. You know, you hear a lot about the riots in Europe these days over soccer, but you know, in the front cover of the papers, we're showing those pictures of Italian soccer fans holding up swastikas and flags. And we were just sort of getting into the idea that there are some teams in Europe that are known as fascist teams, and other teams are communist teams, and other teams. It's really interesting, the cultural breakdown in Europe and how it translates through sports. And sports, very easy target, as people have said. Bobby McMahon, Fox Sports analyst, is very big on that, and that sports are an easy way to target people's, you know, built-in intolerance. And so we're going to work on that kind of story.
And George Stromboulopoulos, lastly here, I mean, you're up on the sports. One of your favorite shows was The Lofters, wasn't it?
I don't even think I ever watched an episode in its entirety.
But you plugged it mercifully. I saw you always going, look at that graffiti over there. That used to be Florida Lofters.
Oh, that was post. Yeah, yeah, that's right. I did that on Loud in the punk show.
Yeah, see that gate there? That's where the Lofters used to hang out.
That's funny.
And it's interesting that one of the Lofters, that great Life Channel network show.
Jennifer Hedger.
Yes, she's done very well with the sport, hasn't she?
Jennifer Hedger's on TSN. I believe Carolyn, the other girl, Carolyn, the redhead, was on the Weather Network. And Arissa is on a Toronto TV station called Toronto One. Yeah, they've all found themselves gigs. That's cool.
And what about Namu Gemi from Much Music? She was doing sports for a little while. She's still involved, though. I haven't seen her on TV.
Well, she's on Sportsnet. I mean, she was doing the basketball show, right? And I think she even did a CFL show. I suppose she's still doing it.
So you haven't seen her around, because you did exchange that on-air smooch with her, so I thought maybe you'd keep up with her.
We did kiss, that's true.
Well, thanks so much for phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here today. George Stromboulopoulos from CBC's The
Hour.
The Hour, which is going to be taping next week, taping live, maybe a bit of background on, because we're going to give away these tickets now, George. We have two pairs of tickets for Wednesday. I guess one goes to Kate there. One goes to Kate, but for Tuesday and Wednesday, this is next week at the Fire Hall Arts Center, and you have to come to CITR to pick up these tickets. That's Monday to Friday here. I guess you'd have to pick up tickets on Monday from CITR, and we're open 11 to 5, and hopefully everybody knows where CITR is. But what background can you give about this taping? It's going to be going on next week.
Well, I'll tell you what, we just launched the show January 17th, so it's relatively new, so we're always trying new things, and we have a handle on half of what we do, and we like to experiment. So bringing the show to Vancouver, we don't do it in front of an audience, right? So to do it in front of an audience is going to be very interesting, and we don't really know what the show's going to end up being.
People in Toronto are pretty jealous, aren't they? They want to see some. Is this something you might move to?
To what? To do in front of an audience? It'd be fun.
Yeah, because is there capacity to do that at the CBC? Actually, where you shoot the show at the CBC, have other shows been shot on that same sound stage? What sort of sound stage is it?
You know what? I haven't been in it yet. I'm going in on Sunday.
Oh, no, I meant in Toronto.
Oh, in Toronto. You know what? It's the studio where they used to shoot something else there. I don't even know why. Man, I forgot what it was called. It's in the big Studio 50. It's across the newsroom from where the National does their show, and it's just down the hall from where Canada Now comes from.
And when you walked through the newsroom there like you did, was that a live segment? Like when you walked through the newsroom to go to Peter Mansbridge?
No, it has been live and it has been on tape. It's been both.
And are you allowed to, did it get mad? Because that's pretty wild when you did that. That's very, you know, David Letterman-ish, you know, when he goes down and does this kind of remote sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Are we allowed to do it?
Yeah, it was just weird to see, like, Peter Mansbridge's office.
Yeah, no.
I felt almost embarrassed. Like, oh, my God.
But
like,
that's the idea. The idea is to just kind of, you know, do things a little bit differently.
And did you tell him or did you just show up there?
No, he knows. He knew I told him I was going to come.
Because that was really fascinating to kind of see the behind-the-scenes type of thing.
That's the point.
Well, we have some tickets to give away for Tuesday and Wednesday for next week's taping at the Fire Arts Center, 604-822-247, UBC-CITR of CBC's The Hour. Well, George, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all? People can catch your show, The Hour, in Vancouver on CBC News World Channel 26 at 5, 8, and 11 p.m.
I just want to
Monday
say
and Thursday.
The only thing that I want to say, Nardwuar, has nothing to do with me or my show, but it has everything to do with you, and that is the single greatest question in the history of rock and roll journalism, maybe in the history of all journalism, was asked by who? By you.
Rocky Erickson?
By you.
Rocky Erickson, creature with the atom brain.
You stood there with Rob Halford of Judas Priest and asked him what was the best law he ever broke. And for breaking the law, Priest, I damn near fell off my chair and never recovered. You are the king, Mr. Serviette.
Well, thank you for the kind words, George. That is amazing that you actually remember that, because I'm not really the king. Rocky Erickson is the king.
He is.
Which
song are we going to play?
We're going to end with the Don't Shake Me Lucifer. Oh, that's the one you wanted to hear, right? Well, actually, what did you want to hear? We don't have it.
I wanted to hear the song Burn the Flame. You can find it on, it was Rocky Erickson. You never know when you can find his stuff, but it's on the Return of the Living Dead soundtrack as well. Rocky Erickson's got a bunch of different sounds. The one we're about to play is more of his jangly rock and roll, but it's a great chorus.
And 604-822-247 UBC-CITR if you want to win some free tickets to go see George's taping. Live taping.
Our living.
It's going to be a live taping next week in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Well, thanks so much, George. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all? Why should people care about CBC News The Hour?
Why should they? I don't know. It's a TV show, man. It's about what's going on. You know, if you care about what's going on in current events and you want to hear a different way of talking about it, then you should care. And if not, that's cool, too.
All right. Well, thanks much, George. Keep on rocking in the free world and do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do.